Proverbs, chapter 29, and the beginning of verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In merely earthly, carnal terms, we all understand what that means. I remember my mother saying to me before I entered into teenage years, you need to choose what you want to be in life before you get to those teenage years, because that will keep you studying, at least a little, that will keep you from turning astray. And even if you change your mind later, you will have done enough work to ensure that you may do what you wish. For those who like football and like football illustrations, Ipswich Town have got a new manager. And I read somewhere that people were beginning to say, the luck that this man always has should get us into the Championship, if not into the Premier Division, within a year or two. And what, of course, has been happening is that there hasn't been that vision. If you don't want to get anywhere and don't know where you're going, what chance is there of doing anything that is profitable? And this, of course, holds good, as we know, in every area of life. It is particularly incumbent upon politicians, for the sake of the nation, to give direction and hold out those things which are promising and are true, so that people may just not get blasé, but have some idea that their lives are meaningful. But of course, we're not thinking particularly of that, but I wanted you to have that in mind. But we are thinking of spiritual things. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In a nutshell, where there is no vision of Jesus, people perish. Where there is no understanding of the gospel, people perish. And that is what is so horrific about modern law in some places and suggested in this, that conversion therapy, as it's now known, should be outlawed. Why do you go for therapy? It is to find healing. And conversion therapy is to provide healing for the deep needs of the souls. And it's what, if these laws are passed, will be denied to people, that vision will go. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The word is not where there are no visions. We're not looking to talk about mystical visions. This simply means that where there is no understanding of the gospel, where there is no preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, people will perish. Our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a hymn in Christian hymns, I saw a new vision of Jesus, a vision I'd not seen before. But he's meaning that the gospel dawned on him in a way it never had done before. Not meaning anything more than that. And first of all then, if we are to have a purpose in life, we need to take heed to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we need to understand and to accept those things that make the gospel necessary. I never cease loving to read that incident about the two thieves with the Savior on Calvary. And the reason I like it is that all the things that are necessary to true conversion are there in the thief that was saved. But none of those words, like repentance, like confession, are actually ever used. But he was as thoroughgoing as you could imagine. We receive the true rewards of our deeds. What's that if it's not confessing? Remember me when thou dost come into thy kingdom. What is that but not believing that Jesus has the power of life and of death? But the words aren't used. So we must understand when we hear the gospel, the things that are necessary to our salvation. We probably all know what it is, and if we're not yet fully instructed, we must look to the Holy Spirit to instruct us. So, do you have a vision? Not in this world. What is going to happen to you after you die? It's hardly a vision to say, I'll just disintegrate. I'll be as if I've never been. I won't have a being. That is hardly a vision. None of us has visions of hell, I think, wittingly. But we must remember that the Lord is holy. And nothing impure shall enter the gates of heaven. No sin unforgiven shall enter the gates of heaven. No person bearing that sin or tainted that sin shall enter the gates of heaven. So our vision must be, yes, eternal life, but must carry with it how do I obtain that eternal life? Well, by believing the gospel, of course. And by believing that it is vested in Jesus Christ, that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But it means admitting, whether we use the words or not, to the Saviour in our prayers that we are sinners. And that we deserve to die. That thief was not afraid to admit that he deserved to die. Well, you say, my sin isn't as bad as that. But he is only being judged by earthly sin. Mankind is being judged in the court of God by spiritual sin. God made us. And it is a spiritual sin not to believe in that God. God upholds all things by the works of his hand. And it is a spiritual sin not to believe that he careth for us. And so it is that we must be aware that we are spiritual sinners. God has given us our lives. And there is a sense in which we've stolen it from him. We've opted to do what we want with it, as if he had no part to play in the matter. Well, that is a sin. It was a particular sin of my childhood. Never entered my head that my life was given me by God, and that therefore I owed him something, and that I wasn't just free to do as I wanted to do. Of course, the upside is that it gives you a purpose in life, which is what we're talking about. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So to have a clear understanding that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, its good news is that when he died on Calvary, he made atonement for our sin and accepted our persons, however sinful we are. I chose the hymn we've already just sung because it speaks of even the worst sinner being welcome. And there are degrees of sinfulness, even to have thought murder. And the Lord Jesus says it is murder, is not the same degree as actually to have done it, but it doesn't free us from sin. So the Lord calls us to believe his gospel. Now, how entrenched it is as an evil is also revealed by the cost of redemption, that Jesus, taking human flesh and therefore feeling as we do, except without sin and therefore feeling everything more because it hasn't been deadened, the Lord Jesus bore our sins on Calvary with all the physical suffering entailed in crucifixion and added on top of that the spiritual suffering of the Father punishing him for the guilt of the millions of his people. It was a terrible, terrible ordeal. Now, God doesn't do that for fun. There was a serious matter to be dealt with, a serious barrier to mankind entering into heaven. We can't enter heaven en masse just by virtue of being thinking people. Individually, we have to enter in at the narrow gate. And mere thoughts are not sufficient. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who atones for our sins. So it is that we admit that we're sinners. We come to him as the only Saviour. And then we have something to look forward to. It may be you say, well, I'd rather live this life, thank you very much, than have something to look forward to beyond that. Well, I can tell you categorically that that won't be your view when you get into your 80s. You will want to be certain that after your imminent death, there will be something of value ahead of you. And in your 60s, you will need to be preparing for that. But in your 40s, bearing in mind tragedy and accidents, you will need to deal with that, as you will in your 20s, before you destroy yourselves, perhaps, for good. And so it is that the vision is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever in our souls and with our bodies made perfect. I love the words of Job, who is being led by the Holy Spirit to believe in resurrection. And he says virtually, if I could just believe in that, it would change my whole life. I could just believe in resurrection. And he says this: if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Now that is a vision. He hadn't got to the place where he believed in resurrection. That comes about four chapters later. But the Lord was bringing him through on our behalf. Because we need to say to ourselves, if I die, if a man dies, shall he live again? And what is the consequence? Well, the consequence is that it gives a long distance approach to living. All the days of my appointed time. I know my days are limited. God has our times in his hand. But all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In other words, I've got something exciting to look forward to. Though I'm suffering terribly at the moment, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a wonderful, wonderful change. And the wonder of that change is spoken of when Job himself comes to believe in resurrection. And this is what he says. I know that my Redeemer, that's the Lord Jesus, liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, probably meaning his earthly life rather than his return. But here's the wonderful thing. So here's a man facing death. And though after my skin, worms destroy this body. Well, I was speaking to the children about our body dying. And here Job refers to it very disparagingly. It's going to happen. I'm going to die. My body is going to be burned, or it's going to be decaying in the grave. Though after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believes in resurrection. He believes he's going to see God. Makes no difference to his thinking that we all die and are buried and decay. If I could just believe this, he says, I would look forward to it all the days of my life. Well, do we who believe it look forward to it? And then he says, the fullness of it is that there will be a bodily resurrection. And whatever happens to my body, yet in my flesh, when our bodies rejoin to our souls, shall I see God. Now that is a vision. That is something that takes us way beyond this world. And perhaps it's a good thing to think at this stage that what is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years compared with eternity? What does the significance of our vision mean? If we merely have an earthly vision for 90 years, it pales into insignificance compared with a vision for the whole of eternity, where there is no vision, the people perish. I beg you, beseech you, to hear the gospel and to pray that you understand the gospel and enter into this long-term thinking for which all this life is preparation. But where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I've often told you that perishing does not mean going out of existence. You prick a balloon and it perishes, but it's still there, just no good for what it was made. And that is the significance of perishing. No good for what it was made. We say, I'm perishing with cold. Well, we're not perishing. We're not dying. It's just that we are too cold to do our job, the thing we were made to do. And that is the important perishing. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That is to say, they fall short. They do not do the things that they were made, one might even say destined, but that refers to each individual. They do not do the things that they could do. They perish. All goodness goes out of their lives. All honesty may go out of their lives. a great deal of their purpose will vanish altogether. People will perish. And in spiritual terms, that means that when we die, we do not go out of existence. How could that be, for example, that we who have lived our lives and have an account to give to God could go out of existence without giving that account to God? But people perish. Surely we can't look on while people perish. Surely we must teach them the gospel. But perishing is an awful word. Because perishing in spiritual terms means that you don't cease to exist, just that you can't do the things that you were made to do. In other words, you will exist, and you will exist in hell, but you will not be able to praise God, do that thing for which you were really made to do, to the summit, the top of what you were created to do, to worship the Lord by sight. You weren't made to do that. That's gone. You'll be alive, but what sort of a life is that? What sort of thing? It is like a pricked balloon, no good for anything except for Satan, who will be in the same boat anyway. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The second half of the verse says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he, which is another way of putting in New Testament terms. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that rectifies this terrible situation. He that keepeth the gospel, he that puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he who believes on him to everlasting life, he who makes himself holy with the Holy Spirit's guidance, he who is everlastingly committed to that Saviour, he is happy in the inward spiritual sense of being happy. It is the gospel that gives true happiness. It is the Saviour who is preached in the gospel, of course, who gives that happiness. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Those churches who do not preach the gospel, perhaps speak about morality in all their sermons, has a deadening influence. Woe betide those churches that do not preach the gospel and desire men and women and boys and girls to be saved, first of all, fundamentally, before getting any further in life. This is what the gospel is for. And this is why we exist to some degree. We also exist to worship the Lord as a church. But we also exist to spread that gospel. And it is noticeable that where that gospel is preached, the churches are blessed. May not happen in certain countries, persecution and pre-persecution. But as a general rule, the preaching of the gospel brings salvation and growth and consistency in the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think of Priston and what proportion of that village, I have no idea, will go to hell or which proportion to heaven. After I became a Christian and was in the sixth form at school, I used to wonder what proportion of the boys in my class would go to hell and what proportion would go to heaven. One would do one's best to explain, but it was clear that they didn't always want explanation unless the Spirit moved in their hearts. But this is a desperately important matter. The whole of eternity hangs on this. Whether we believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and follow him as true disciples, or whether we reject him and take our own paths. Our own path ultimately leads to eternal uselessness, destruction and pain. But the path of the Lord Jesus Christ leads to an eternity. It hasn't yet been revealed to us the wonderful things that God will do for those who dwell with him eternally. But it'll be wonderful. A million times better than here. There'll be no more pain, suffering, toil, difficulty in learning or anything like that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I hope you aren't perishing. And I hope you're doing your utmost to give vision that matters and therefore a purpose in living to those we come into contact with. Well, may the Lord bless us and lead us to his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.